Well, man, it is great to have you with us this morning. Happy Mother's Day. We are glad that you are all here, especially this morning. We are glad that you mothers are here, and even those of you who were drugged here by your mothers, right? Good job, Mom, right? If you have your Bibles with you, open to Exodus chapter 20. We have been in a series on the Ten Commandments called Timeless, believing that God has given us these incredibly timeless truths that transcend time and the centuries. And this morning, we are on one that's very, very special. As I was reflecting on the reality of the commandments, we've been saying that God gave the commandments to his people, not as a condition of a relationship. In other words, it wasn't like, you keep these commandments, then you're in a relationship. No, he gave the commandments because they were in relationship. Just like your mom at home makes rules, not so that you would become her child, but she makes rules because you are her child, right? And moms are really good at it, and moms are amazing. We love them. I was contemplating the wonder of moms and motherhood, and I got to tell you, one of the ones that really stuck out in my head was the reality that moms, I think some of you know this, everything about them is amazing, even their spit, right? And you're thinking, moms don't spit. Mothers have magic spit. You know how I know this? Growing up as a kid going to church, it seemed like almost every week on the way to church, my mom would do the magic thumb lick, right? How many of you ever had your mom do that to you before, right? Yeah, see, right down here, yeah. She kind of does this number, and it's like, eh. And I used to think to myself, okay, mom's got this magic thumb lick, and you can't get away fast enough, right? And she's just like, you know, clean this. And it's usually because, you got some breakfast still attached or your clothes are a mess and things like that. And as I was contemplating at first, I thought, oh, you know, moms are awesome. They don't want us to look bad in front of other people. Then I started to think about it more, and I thought, oh, wait a minute. No, it's because I reflect upon her, right? And she's doing that so that I don't go somewhere, Sunday school even, or anywhere, and people go, oh, well, who would let their kid look like that, right? And I thought, well, it's going to take a whole lot more than a magic thumb lick to keep that intact, right, for most of us at least. But the reality is that God has given us these commands in this, for the same reason. See, God gave these Ten Commandments and the others that go with it because he wanted to set apart for himself a people who would reflect his glory, who would reflect his holiness and what an amazing God he was. He wanted them to be different, to live differently than the rest of the world. And so by giving us these commands that we would follow, we would be different. And I think that is the crux of each and every one of these commands, that God wants to set us apart. That's why he says, be holy, because I'm holy. He wants us to reflect his holiness, his image. Now, we've covered in our series the first four of the commands, and the Ten Commandments are broken into two groups, actually, within the ten. The first four, and I'll throw out some big theological words for you, the first four are what we call theocentric, okay? It means they center around our relationship with God, okay? And so we've got those first four. You have no other gods before me. Don't make any other idols. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. And then last week we talked about the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many of you went home and you did Sabbath just a little different last week than normal? Anybody? So sermon wasn't all that good, huh? Okay, well, did it tweak anybody out about the way you thought about Sabbath? Yeah, just a little bit? Okay, good, good. Because that's what it's supposed to do. I think we're just way too busy, and we need to stop, as we said, and reflect on God and give him the time that he deserves. And so we've gone through the first one. Now, today we start the second batch of the Ten Commandments, and these we would call anthropocentric, which means how we relate to others, how we relate to people around us. That's the horizontal relationships with our neighbors, with our family, people like that. And the first four is how we love God. The second six are how we love others, which was, Jesus said, the greatest command is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So those two commands kind of envelop these Ten Commandments. And when we began looking, in fact, I had several people say, how did you do this? How did the honor your mother and father end up on Mother's Day? And I said, well, it's magic, of course, right? I said, no, we looked at the calendar and we went, no, if we just add an introductory sermon, we can make it work out that way. And I think it's really fitting today that today on Mother's Day, we celebrate the fifth commandment. And I'd like for you to read this out loud with me this morning. So it's here up on the screen. So read it with me. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And I remember I heard a story about a young boy. He just turned 16, goes out, he gets his driver's license, and now because he's got his driver's license, he wants to be able to use the family car, right? And so he goes to his mom and he says, hey mom, I'd like to use the car. She says, now wait a minute, not so fast. We're gonna have to put some rules in place before you can just take off in the car. And she said, before you can drive the car though, you know, we've noticed your grades have been kind of failing, so we want you to bring your grades up. Your bedroom is a mess, so you need to clean up your room just to show some responsibility, because driving's a big responsibility. And then she kind of looked the son up and down, and she said, and that hair. Like, you know, we need to do something about the hair, so you got to cut your hair. And so the boy, you know, thought about it for a minute and says, well, all right. So he goes in, and noticeably, within that next, you know, month, all of a sudden, you know, his bedroom's looking a whole lot better, right? There's some motivation here. He wants to drive the car. So his bedroom's looking cleaned up and things like that. And then he comes home at the end of the month with a progress report, and it looks like his grades are coming up. And the mom is pretty impressed, and she walks into his room, and she says, son, I'm just really impressed about this. You're really taking this seriously. We've been noticing how much cleaner your room is. Your grades are up. This is amazing. And she looked at him, though, and she says, but we still need to talk about the hair. And so the son looks and says, now about that, mom. Says, I've been reading my Bible, and what I've been noticing in the Bible is that there's a lot of people in the Bible that have long hair, right? I mean, you can't think about like Abraham with like short hair, right? I mean, this guy, he had to have had long hair. You got Samson, you got other Bible characters. I mean, Jesus himself, of course Jesus would have had long hair, right? And the mother thought about it for a minute, was impressed that the son had been reading the Bible, and said, you know, son, you're absolutely right. But you do know that those people walked everywhere they went. Right? Mom one, teenage boy zero, right? It's kind of how it works, right? But we live today in a day of unfettered children's rights. In Sweden today, it's quite interesting. In Sweden, for instance, it is against the law to spank your child for any reason at all. It is also illegal in Sweden for parents to discipline their children by sending them to bed early or taking away their technology. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, so these are actual laws in Sweden, and they have a special division of social workers that help enforce these laws. So if a kid shows up and says, oh, my parent took my cell phone away, they send a social worker over to, like, now you're under investigation by the social department because you took your kid's cell phone away. I mean, these things are really happening. Even here in the United States, there are increasingly easier laws and provisions for children who can now divorce their parents. Right? I mean, the technical term is emancipation, but the laws have loosened up so much that if you're just mean to your kid and your kid goes and complains enough, you can work this out. I mean, and in some states it's a lot easier than others. I won't tell you which side of that California's on, but the reality is that there's all these laws and rules centered around children and children's rights. Now, I thought it was interesting that when visiting America years and years ago, King Edward VIII once said this. He said, one thing that greatly impresses me about American culture is the way that the parents obey their children, right? Now, don't hear what I'm not saying this morning. I'm not saying that children should not have rights. I believe that they should. Child abuse, neglect, all those things absolutely should not be tolerated, and we as a society should not tolerate any kind of abusiveness towards children. But in a society that emphasizes the rights of children above the rights and responsibilities of the parent is setting itself up for collapse. That is why at the end of this commandment, it doesn't just say, you know, children, honor your mother and father. It says, children, honor your mother and father what? And if you look at the command, it says, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. See, God understood that if we did not learn to honor our parents, that if we allowed the kids' rights and desires and everything to run unchecked, that it would create a society that was not able to be sustained. Because eventually, if it's all about what the kids want, I mean, well, they'll eat candy every day, right? You guys know how this works. I mean, but the reality is that there's this truth communicated by the fifth commandment that says, look, we need to make sure that parents are honored and that their place of responsibility is respected, and that's a cornerstone of our society. Now, I'm going to read a quote for you and then have you guess, who said this, okay? And so the quote says this: children today love luxury, they have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and talk nonsense when they should be working. Young people no longer stand when adults enter the room. They contradict their parents, talk too much in company. They gobble their food, lay their feet on the table, and tyrannize their teachers. Now, who do you think said this? A little bit older than that. No, it was Socrates. Okay? Socrates said that. So here's the reality. Things haven't changed a whole lot, have they? I mean, when you stop and you think about it, why did God have to throw in this commandment? Because he knew that our tendency would be towards disobedience. He knew our tendency would be towards selfishness and that we would not tend to just naturally honor our parents, that he needed to say, this is something you do, and that it would make us different than the rest of cultures. Could you imagine what it would look like to the rest of the world if we here in the United States, if all children fully kept the fifth commandment? I mean, parents would be like, man, this country's amazing, right? Now, all the kids are going like, oh, but it would be a nightmare for us. Not so fast. I think what we would discover is that it would be a wonderful place not only to be parents, but to be children as well. So the commandment says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land your God is giving to you. So what does it mean? We're going to tear this down. I'm going to give you three things that children need to do to honor, and then a couple things for parents as well this morning. The first thing is children should honor their parents, right? Now, what does that look like? What's honor? The word honor in the Hebrew language means weight or value. It's like the scales. When you put something on, the more it's worth, the heavier it would be, okay? And this word for value, it really had this whole idea that if you didn't honor something, that the antithesis, okay, would be, the opposite of honoring would be to take something lightly, right? So if anytime your parents are talking, you're just like, yeah, whatever, and you don't take it seriously, you take it lightly, that means you're not honoring them. So to take it seriously and to think through it and say, okay, there's weight to that, that's what the whole idea of honoring parents is really all about. So I want to give you three ways that we should honor our parents. First is that we need to obey. Okay, children should obey their parents. When you're young, you're living in your parents' home, or even if you're not young and you're living under your parents' roof, because that age seems to keep getting older and older for many of the people in our culture. The reality is that the Apostle Paul shows the importance of this commandment when he repeats it in Ephesians chapter 6. He says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It's important to know that, because I always thought, man, yeah, if I disobey one more time, my life might not be very long on the earth, right? But he starts off, and notice what he says there. He says, go back to the one before that, where he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He doesn't say when they are right, okay? Because there's a lot of you children who say, yeah, well, my mom and dad aren't right, you know, so do I have to obey them? No, it doesn't say when they're right. It doesn't say if they are right. It says, children, obey your parents because this is the right thing to do. As children of the Lord, your responsibility, your role is to honor your parents, to obey your parents, because that is what is right. I think what we need to understand is that when your parents ask you to do something, especially if you're living under their roof, okay, if you're younger or even if you're older and you're living in their house, you should obey them. Right? But we know how this works because, you know, parents will walk by and they'll, you know, say, hey, can you clean up your room? Can you take out the trash in our house? Can somebody please, for God's sakes, do the laundry? Right? But we look at that and we say, okay, but we know what happens a lot of times. Parents will come by and, hey, can you clean up the room, take out the trash? And people say, yeah, in minutes, we know how, the Hebrew word for minute means never. Okay? I'm just making that up, but it's the reality is what they're saying is what I'm doing right now is way more important than what you're asking me to do, okay? That's not honoring. And I know some of your kids are going, yeah, but you know, I got it. No, the reality is delayed obedience, and some of you need to really write this down. Delayed obedience is still disobedience, okay? Let that settle in for a minute. Delayed obedience is disobedience. The best thing you can do to honor your parents is don't delay in being obedient, okay? Because delayed obedience is disobedience. Now, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, right at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, it says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching. The only exception to obeying your parents, okay, would be if they command you to do something that is an absolutely clear violation of Scripture, and you really better be sure, okay? In other words, you better have not just kind of thought that that might be against her. You better check that out and probably have a conversation with them before doing something like that. Because your parents need to be obeyed simply because they are your parents. And the kids, how serious was God about keeping this commandment? Well, he was so serious about this that just two books later, okay, three books later, in the book of Deuteronomy, he says this, there's a story. It says, if someone has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not, what's the word? Obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of his town. They shall say to the elders, the son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not, what's the word? Obey us. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town are to stone him to death. And all the kids are like, yikes. And all the parents are like, Like, why don't churches come equipped anymore with, like, stoning pits, right? And so like that, okay? And I'm not proposing this at all, that that's something that we should, like, do today. But the reality is this is how serious God took this. In fact, evidently, God had to say this, so there must have been a couple disobedient children running around in the Israelite encampment, right? It's like kids weren't obeying, so God says, hey, this is how serious this is. Now think about why. It's because, again, God wanted us to be different than the rest of the world. He didn't want a bunch of selfish brats running around the place who just did whatever they want, whenever they wanted to do it, and didn't have to listen to their parents. God says, no, that's not honoring, and that does not display the kind of honor that you should have towards your parents or the honor that we should all give towards God. You see, the way that we honor our parents is a representation of understanding authority and understanding that we should give all honor and glory to our Heavenly Father. And if you can't do that for your parents, you're really not going to be able to handle that when it comes to your relationship with God. And so this is huge. Now, as I was studying that passage, I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, man, that is just drastic. That just seems so serious. I started to think about the fact that in that culture, I mean, in our culture today, it seems like everybody is running, okay, to free children from the tyranny of their parents, right? It's like everybody's running around going, oh, we got to, you know, save our kids from this and that. Now, again, don't hear what I'm not saying. Abuse, neglect, those things are absolutely abhorrent to God, okay? They should never, ever be tolerated in any way, shape, or form. However, you know what? In our culture, people are just running saying, oh, you know, this is kids' rights. In Moses' day, the entire town, they didn't turn out for that. They turned out to help the parents discipline their children. And think about that. I mean, is there a whole lot of help for parents today to, you know, discipline their children correctly? No, we seem to have this whole thing reversed. And like I said before, I truly believe that when we put the rights, okay, and privileges of a child above and beyond the rights and responsibilities of parents, our culture, our society will be crippled and could easily collapse. Now, we don't even have any record in the Bible that this actually ever was carried out. There's no story that says, yeah, little Joshua was running around and he disobeyed and so we stoned him to death. Everybody rejoiced, right? There's nothing like that, okay? There's nothing like that in Scripture. And I'm thinking, well, God put it in there. Maybe it was just enough so that the parents could actually say, you know, Joshua, there's elders at the gate, right? Or if they did, maybe they only had to do it once. I mean, really, if the word got out, hey, you know what happened to Joshua over there, man? He disobeyed, and look what happened to him, right? I mean, we don't have a record of it, but what we do see is that God is very serious about this idea of obeying our parents. As you grow older, you honor your parents not only by obeying, but as you get older, maybe you're out on life by yourself, you know, you're out of their home. Then we grow and we honor our parents by respecting our parents. That's the second part. We respect our parents. Not only do we obey, we respect. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, it says, each of you must, okay, respect your mother and father, okay? Read that with me out loud. Each of you must respect your mother and father and must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. There goes that Sabbath day. But he says, each of you must. He didn't say, you might want to think about obeying, you know, respecting your parents. He says, no, each one of you must respect your parents, which is interesting because I think it runs cross thread to our culture today. Here's what our culture today thinks respect is. I took this from the Urban Dictionary, okay, which is kind of a modern way of looking at defining things. This is the definition of respect according to the Urban Dictionary. Treating people in a positive manner that acknowledges them for who they are and what they do. And we're all like, oh, that sounds really nice, right? And then it says, respect must be earned and is never just given. And there's some of you in this room that are like, oh, yeah, that's right. Especially if you're under 40. Okay? You're kind of like, yeah, respect isn't earned. You know, it has to be earned. It's never given. I wish the writers of the Urban Dictionary would have read the Bible. Okay? Because here's the reality. Leviticus, other places in the Bible, says, no, you must respect your parents. Okay? You must respect them. Parenting is one of those unique places, I think, and other forms of authority that where you respect them simply because God put them in that place of authority. They deserve your respect before they earn it. Now, parents, you do need to understand, you can lose the respect of your children, okay? Respect is one of those things that when it does need to be earned, okay, and that's between two peers usually, that it takes a long time to earn, it's very easy to lose. Parents, it's easy to lose your respect of your children, so we need to be careful with how we parent. But the reality is, children, whoever told you that your parents have to earn your respect, okay, is not a biblical thinker. Okay, that is what our society will tell you, but I am here to tell you today that I do not believe that that is true. Your parents deserve, and God demands you respect them, okay? Now, you can treat them well, respect them. That does not mean you have to agree with them, and it doesn't mean that you have to allow them to treat you in ways that are abusive or neglectful or anything else, but you do have to respect them. Why? God said so. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a believer in his word, you do that because God said so, not because it makes you feel good. Part of the problem in our culture today is everything is based on our emotional feelings. Oh, it doesn't make me feel this way. I don't, you know what? And the reality is God is much more concerned with the salvation of your soul than whether or not you feel happy today. Okay? You're going to have eternity with him, which is going to be pretty amazing, pretty awesome. But you know what? For some of us, we're going to have to make decisions and do things that might not make you feel so good on a day-to-day basis, especially when we live in a world okay, that rejects God's goodness for us and says, hey, we'd really like to do it on our own. When we say that what we think and what we want to do and what makes us happy is more important than what the authority says, it sets us up to not understand what our relationship with God is supposed to look like. And so we need to respect our parents. There's a story in the Bible about what, you know, about disrespecting parents. It's in Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, right after the flood, you know, Noah, he builds the ark, they put all the animals on, you know, they're on the ark for a while, then they come off the ark and all the animals run loose or whatever, and then it says the first thing Noah does is he plants a vineyard, right? And so he plants a vineyard, and then what do you do with a vineyard, right? Yeah, you make wine, right? So he makes some wine, and I don't know, maybe Noah was suffering from, you know, post-flood syndrome or something, and he's like, so what's he do? He drinks several bottles, evidently, or flasks or whatever they had back then, skins of wine, and he gets drunk, okay? So, and it says Noah gets drunk, and he goes and he lays naked in his tent, and I'm like, that is just spring break gone wrong. So he's like, you know, so Noah, he's laying naked in his tent, he's drunk, and what happens? His son Ham walks in, sees Noah drunk and naked, and what does he do? He runs out and he tells everybody. He like goes to his brothers, hey, you guys are dark, you gotta come see this, man. The old man is plastered. He's naked laying in the tent, right? And so what do what's his other two sons do? The other sons, in order to show respect to their parents, it says that the other two, they take a blanket, okay, or a cloak, and they put it on their shoulders, and then they back up into the tent so that they're not looking at their father's nakedness. And I'm thinking, I'm trying to picture this in my head. What's that look like? That's like they know their dad's like laying naked in this tent, right? They put this blanket or something on their shoulders, and they walk back in. They're like, oh, there's his feet. And then they, you know, drop the blanket on him to cover him up, right? When Noah comes back from his stupor, okay, what's the first thing that Noah says? He says, cursed be Cain. Now you're like, wait a minute, who's Cain, right? Cain is Ham, the son who told everybody's son, okay? And he says, cursed be Cain. He says he's going to be a servant to his brothers and stuff like that. Here's the reality. Disrespect always impacts relationships, and it always impacts generations, okay? When we do, it tears apart the generations. And what eventually happens is Cain becomes the father of the Canaanites, who become the rivals of the Israelites, God's people. And it causes infighting in the family from the very beginning. Why? Because of disrespect. Respect is important for God, and he knows that it will eventually tear down our society and our ability to, you know, love one another and to communicate together. And so God says, hey, you've got to respect, and that respect starts at home. I mean, so even folks, if you're out of your parents' house, if you, you know, are on your own, you still need to show respect to your parents. So we should obey our parents, we should respect our parents, and the third thing is we should care for our parents, okay? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 4, it says this. It says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. Okay, in some translations it says, care for your parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. It pleases God when we care for one another, but especially in this verse, it says, care for your parents. Now, I just want to, I did this in first service, I'm just trying to get a feel for this. How many of you here in the room either right now have, or have in the past, or right now are caring in some way, like need to care for aging parents? Anybody in the room in that? Yeah, I'm looking up because I think this is huge in our culture today. Some of you are doing like an amazingly good job of that. I see people hitting their children, which, you know, hey, you know, it's okay, we're not in Sweden. No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. So the reality is that we should care for them. And some of you know that there's difficulty sometimes in that. That's a hard, hard thing sometimes. But the reality is that we should demonstrate, you know, obedience, respect. We should care for them in whatever way is necessary. And I think that it's important for us to understand that it pleases God when we do that. Now, I heard this illustration. It's interesting. It comes from the Grimm's fairy tales. Some of you are familiar. You kids, it's like, you know, Grimm, right? That's just what they call it. It's a TV show, right? And so they have this fairy tale, and it told the story of a man who was elderly, and his wife had passed, and so he was living with his son and daughter-in-law. And so the gentleman would come, and he would come, and he would slowly come to the dining room table every evening, and he would sit down, and he would eat with the family. But as he got older, you know, things got a little shakier. He started to, you know, spill some of his food on the table and things like that. The daughter-in-law started getting upset because it's like ruining the tablecloth, and there's food and stuff all over the floor just because he was having difficulty eating. And so she said, you know, it's kind of messing up the carpet, it's messing up the tablecloths. So they decided what they would do is they would take the older man and they would take him to the kitchen, and they had a little small, like little one-seater table thing in the kitchen. They would sit him in there, say, you know, he can eat in there because it's easier to wipe up the floor, he's not going to wreck things, you know. And you know, and so they did that for a while, and then he one day dropped one of the glass, you know, one of the dishes, and it broke on the floor. So they got him this old wooden bowl, and one day, you know, he was struggling to do that, and it fell on the ground, and even the wooden bowl broke. And so the father went out to the garage, and he put some things together, and he made what kind of looked more like a trough than a plate. And he says, here, you know, this will help. The food won't fall on the ground, and you can eat from this trough, you know, and you can all just kind of imagine what that looks like, you know. And he couldn't use the forks and things as well anyway, so here, we'll just throw his food in the trough and things like that. And every once in a while, you know, the man would look over at the dining room and see the family and just long to be with them. One day, the father was coming home from work, and he heard all of this noise in the garage, and he goes in there and he looks, and his son is like putting together some pieces of wood and stuff. He says, son, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm building a trough for you and mom when I get older. Right? So what did the mom and dad do? They went in, they took the father, they got rid of the trough, they brought him to the dining room table, and they said, you know what? It's okay. We just want you to be with us. See, it's a biblical principle that you reap what you sow. And so we need to understand that we need to care for each other. And yeah, it may be difficult sometimes, but the reality is, I mean, who changed your diapers, right? And the reality is that we need to care for one another. And I pray more than anything else that we're a church that demonstrates care for one another, no matter what the age, that we have our younger people who are caring for our older, and our olders who are caring about the lives of our young people and helping them thrive, especially in a culture where, to be quite honest, folks, the culture's not going to help us or give us a good picture of how to do this. It is really up to the church, and this is God's design. Like I said at the very beginning, it is God's design that we live differently from the world, that we demonstrate what it looks like to love and care for one another, to obey and to honor our parents, to respect, to care for one another. And quickly, I just want to give parents two things, that while we are supposed to honor parents, I think parents, we do need to understand this, that if we're going to live this commandment out, parents, we need to live honorably. If we are going to be people who are treated with honor, we should live honorably. The end of that Ephesians passage, it says this, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, okay? It says, by the way that you treat them, rather bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I always wonder, I'm like, why do they pick on the fathers, right? And all the moms in the room are going, oh, I know why, right? So, yeah, because, sometimes us dads know how to push buttons or whatever. But fathers, listen, it does not say, fathers, don't discipline your children. Okay? It doesn't say, hey, fathers, be your child's best friend. I mean, it's nice when you have a great relationship with your kid, and I hope that happens, but you are not there to be their friend. There's way too much of that. That's the way the world angles this. Oh, man, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to say no to my kid because I don't want, you know, I need to be my kid's friend. I remember specifically, and I know I've shared this story before in messages, I remember a day, okay? My mom probably put it out of her mind, but I remember a day that I did something really stupid at home, and I yelled at my mom, and I said, you know, like, I don't like you, you're not my friend. And I remember my mom told me, she says, well, God didn't put me on this earth to be your friend. She says, God put me here to be your mother and to help you be the kind of person God wants you to be. And then she said, one day, maybe, when you get older, and probably when you have kids of your own, then we can be friends. But for now, I'm your mom, and that's what God's put me here to do. Amen? Good job, Mom. So, so yeah, you can clap for her. She's a good mom. So, no. But you know what? But that's really what it means, is that we need to understand the roles and things that God has put us in and live in those things. Why? Because God designed the family. He knows better than we do. And he knows what will help create a culture and a society that reflects his glory and his honor to the rest of the world. I'm not so concerned about all of our feelings and emotions. It's what will honor God, what will help create a society and a culture that puts God at the top of things, okay? Not just the way that we feel, and I think it's important. Now, so parents, live honorably, and how do we do that? Number one, we do need to discipline our children. Proverbs 29:17 says, discipline your children, and they will give you peace of mind and make your heart glad. Now, that doesn't mean like while you're doing it. Okay? Because, you know, becoming a parent, I remember my dad telling me, you know, like, this is going to hurt me more than it does you, right? You remember that? And I'm thinking, no, you don't. And as a parent, I've come to understand what that means. Okay? Whatever the form of discipline is, it's difficult for parents to do that. And that's one of the reasons they need to have respect, because parenting is difficult work to do it correctly. And I have to say, you know, it's what a privilege it is to be able to stand up here today and, you know, be part of dedicating a grandchild. One of the things that I think has been one of the things I never understood about what it would be like to be a grandparent that I really enjoy today is not just the kids, the grandkids, which are amazing, but one of the great privileges, I think it goes to what this verse is about, is to watch the kids become parents. And to go, look, they're doing this. They're doing this well. And this verse says, you know what? If you discipline your children, they'll give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. My heart is glad when I see my grandchildren with their parents and the people that I believe they're going to become, because their parents are going to raise them well. And I can say that because I believe, hey, I don't want to paint a picture that's all sunshine and roses at the Lamont house, okay? Because there's been some discipline down the road, okay? But the reality is, I can tell you this, watching the way that our children have responded to that, I have every reason to believe that their children are going to turn out well. And that's one thing that I heard years ago is, you know you were a decent parent if your grandkids turn out okay. And one of the things that I truly believe is true is that your greatest contribution to this world, at least what I've been living on, is this. Your greatest contribution to this world might just be your grandkids. See, the second thing that we need to do, parents, is not only discipline, but we need to instruct our children. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says this. It says, these commandments, okay, we're talking about the commandments that I give to you today are to be upon your hearts. So you need to pay attention to them. Have them on your hearts. Then he says, impress them on your children. I could preach on that. That's a whole sermon right there. I think it means live impressive to your children, okay? Be impressive with the way that you live. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk down the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Then it says, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Brenda's been doing a little remodeling at our house and stuff. And the one thing that I was like, okay, because we've had this thing for years, this Ten Commandments that's been over our door. Okay? And I was like, yeah, we got to put that back there, right? Because why? Because it says, hey, write these on the door frames of your house. Again, not just to be literal about it, but these are foundational for having a home that honors God, that gives him the glory. And I think it's just really important that we teach these to our children and that we have them in front of us all the time. I mean, because your, like I said, your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God will probably not be something that you do. It will more than likely be someone that you raise. Okay, I want to say that again. The greatest contribution to the kingdom of God might not be something that you do, but someone that you raise. Now, I realize talking about this morning for some of you brings up all kinds of stuff, because maybe you had a difficult or it could be even abusive relationship with a parent. And for that, I just want you to know that we stand with you, and there's never any excuse for any kind of abuse or neglect. Okay? Not physical, not sexual, not verbal, okay? None of those abuses or any kind of neglect. Those just are, I believe they're absolutely sinful. And I think that we need to, as a church, make sure that we're paying attention, saying that is wrong. Those abuses are wrong. Okay? And so we want to stand with you and say, hey, we here as a church want to be a family for people who have had difficult family experiences. We hope to create a family atmosphere that says we as a church want to be family together. Okay, and want to help each other grow. One of the things that we hope that we will understand is that even when that has happened in your life, and as difficult as it may be, we serve a God who is a God who is a God of forgiveness. And our prayer for you, because we believe it is the best thing for you, is that eventually, if that's been part of your life, that you can come to a place where forgiveness is part of that equation, where you can come to a place of forgiving them, and you can share with them, you know, what God has meant in your life, and hopefully how he can redeem some of those past difficulties and hurts. Because we believe that God wants to step in and be that good father that all of us want to have, that he can be that one that comes and nurtures us and loves us and demonstrates love and kindness and forgiveness. And so we want to forgive others as well. Also, remember that Jesus stands with you. And there's a whole lot I could say about this, but the reality is Jesus understands what it's like to have difficult relationships with an earthly family. I mean, there's this time when Jesus went and his brothers, you know, it says that his brothers, his earthly brothers, okay, and he did have those, go look it up in the Bible. They came and they were like, you know, they didn't even believe Jesus was necessarily who he said he was for quite a while. I mean, Mary, Jesus' first miracle. You watch the interaction between Jesus and Mary, and I was thinking, that's a great example of Jesus being obedient to an earthly mother. He's like, hey, woman. I mean, he actually said that. I was like, man, I'd be picking myself off the ground, right? Hey, woman. He says, I don't think it was a derogatory term like it might be today. Okay, but he says, you know, woman, what do I have to do with this? He's like saying, like, what are you getting me into here, right? But he was still obedient, which is amazing. But I think we need to be very, very careful to understand that Jesus understood the tensions there, and Jesus understood what it's like to be rejected by a family member. I mean, think about this even, to the extent of the fact that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, what were some of his final words? Father, why are you forsaking me? He knows what a torn relationship feels like. He did that on our behalf. In Isaiah 53, it says that it was the Lord's good plan to crush him, that his grief eventually would bring our salvation. And that's difficult for us to understand, but the reality is that what I hope you know this morning is this: no matter what situation you've been in, that Jesus understands, and Jesus is with you. Jesus wants you to live a life of forgiveness, and he wants you to be able to do that, but you'll only be able to forgive when you receive forgiveness. And that's something that every single one of us need, because every single one of us have been disobedient. We've all gone astray. We've all failed to honor not only others, but even God. And that's why we celebrate each week. We celebrate the Lord's Supper, which reminds us that Jesus gave his life on our behalf, that he came and said, hey, I'm going to lay down my life so that your sins could be forgiven, so that they could be wiped out, so that we could have a relationship. You could have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And so my prayer today is that as you take communion, you'll realize what an amazing God we serve, and he is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of all glory. He is worthy of our honor. And when he tells us to honor our parents, he means it. And he means it not because he's a mean God or a demanding God. He means it because he wants life for you, life that will be good. He wants you to live long in the place that he's put you. He wants you to thrive wherever you are. And we'll only do that when we learn to be obedient to him. And so this morning, as you take those emblems, recognize all that God's done to bring us to this place of relationship with him. The bread that represents his broken body and the cup that represents his shed blood that was given for us so that we could have forgiveness of sins, a relationship with God, and life with him forever. And that's our prayer for you. If you don't have that relationship with him, I'd love to talk to you more about that. I'll be sitting right down front and have a couple of our elders come and sit here to the sides if you want to talk to someone or pray with someone. We'd love to do that. Or catch us a little bit later. We'd love to talk to you more because we serve an amazingly good Father, and he loves you. He wants you to experience all the goodness he has for you, and he wants us to honor our mothers and our fathers and honor him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you're good. We thank you, Father, for all that you do on our behalf. We thank you, Father, that you've thought way beyond what we ever could. And Lord, you don't tell us to do things, Father, to put a burden on us, but Father, in order to bless us. And that, Father, if we'll learn to be obedient, that, Father, we will experience your blessings. Father, I pray for the parents in the room that, Father God, that they would be honored, especially today, our moms. Pray, Father, you would just bless them and honor them. Father, I pray that we as children, that every single one of us would obey, respect, and care for our parents. And that, Father, in doing so, that, God, it would please you. And because we know if we please you, we receive your favor and your blessing. And Father, we just want to do that because your word is true. Father, help us be people who stand out in a world that doesn't desire to live by your standards. Father, help us to live in such a way that people will turn and look and say, man, what an amazing God we serve. Lord, we love you and we praise you and pray all this in the powerful name of your son, Jesus. Amen.